Beloved children of God, some years ago, Jean and I visited our daughter Lenore, who was at the time living on the West Bank. That's the Palestinian side of what we sometimes call the Holy Land. Unlikely as it seems, she was working at the time as a business correspondent for Dubai Television. That's our daughter, Lenore. We were happy on this trip to go to see Lenore, but being on the Palestinian side, it was also a bit of a sad trip, in that it was the first time that we were able to see and experience the terrible violence and fear and oppression that had torn apart that place we like to call the Holy Land. It looks anything but holy in those days. Gutted out buildings, burned, checkpoints, guns everywhere. Our visit corresponded, it so happened, with one of the intifadas, the periodic uprisings that took place when Palestinians seemed to have just too much. Our first night in Ramallah, we heard gunfire. Lenore calmly told us that we should probably keep our heads below the windowsill. Oh, I thought, nice to be here. After a while, I peered over the edge to see tracer bullets blazing back and forth across the valley below. One day, we went to Bethlehem to visit that 4th century beautiful Church of the Nativity. It was a pain to get there, having to go through all the checkpoints, walking past Israeli soldiers with their submachine guns at the ready. The little town of Bethlehem wasn't filled that night, but there still were no rooms in the inn because all the inns were closed, being there no travelers around. Shopkeepers couldn't believe their luck if we happened to wander into their shop. We would just buy some things, even though we thought it was kitsch, just out of generosity. At the Church of the Nativity, we didn't have to stand in long lines of tourists waiting to go down to the grotto where they say Jesus was born. There was hardly a soul in the place. The hopes and fears of all the years did seem to meet in Bethlehem and those quiet streets. Part of the reason for the trip, of course, was to have that Holy Land experience which every preacher ought to have. Walking where Jesus walked and all that. But given the violence and the tension that was all around, we wondered whether we would be less in touch with Jesus and more in touch with the tensions that were ripping apart the Middle East. Actually, just the opposite happened. Over and over, we felt, this is the way it was. This is the way it really happened. He'd be here. He was born in Bethlehem because a decree went out from the Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And there were very likely checkpoints along the way with armed Roman soldiers looking out for zealots, who today we call terrorists. It was a time of violence, oppression, and fear. Having to stay in a stable may have been one of the least of the problems that Mary and Joseph faced on their trip to Bethlehem. Maybe that's why I was drawn to a story I read about a Christmas Eve, a true story, written by Harriet Ritchie. After a wonderful late-night Christmas Eve service with her family, pretty much like this one, her husband announced that he was hungry and thought they should all go out for breakfast. There must be some place open, he said. So they all piled in a car and drove off to the interstate junction where they knew there was a truck stop that should be open even on Christmas Eve. A few big diesels rumbled at the far end of the parking lot. Inside were a few trucker types sitting at the counter, eating and drinking, talking together. A jukebox is playing some country and western song like, I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. On the big window, there were a few multicolored blinking lights, giving a sort of beleaguered Christmas spirit. But it smelled too much like bacon grease and stale smoke. A one-armed man stood behind the counter drinking a Pepsi. So the family squeezed into a booth. A thin, haggard waitress by the name of Rita, according to her name tag, came along and sauntered over. She looked sort of like you'd expect a waitress to look who had happened to draw the late night shift on Christmas Eve. She managed a weary smile, passed out the menus like a poker hand. The kids were told no hamburgers because this is breakfast, so each one ordered pancakes and sausage, which, when you think about it, is as close to hamburgers for breakfast as you can get. Harriet says she looked around, feeling a bit out of place. She, after all, had a family. They had just come from a wonderful Christmas Eve service, and they would end up that night in their lovely home, all tastefully decorated for Christmas. There was a fleeting thought that she thought maybe they would remember years from now, that she might say with a laugh, "Remember that Christmas night we ate breakfast at that awful truck stop with the country music and the gaudy lights?" And they would all snicker. She was staring out the window when an old Volkswagen van with Texas plates rolled up. A bearded young man in jeans got out, went around the car, opened the door to let out a young woman who was holding a little baby. They hurried inside, protecting the baby with their Mexican poncho, and they took a booth nearby. Someone asked where they were headed, but Harriet didn't hear the answer. She wondered, were their grandparents anxiously waiting to see the new grandchild for the first time? She didn't think so. When Rita took their order, the baby began to cry. Father shifted the baby around, tried to hold him on his shoulder, but nothing seemed to help. Mother took the baby in her arms and rocked the baby. Didn't work. The baby was just plain hungry and tired and cranky. The mother picked up her diaper bag and started to leave, holding the baby against her neck as though to stifle the cries. But Rita, the waitress, reached over, held out her arm, and said, "Sit down and drink your coffee, hon. Let me see what I can do." There was something about the way that Rita took the baby in her arms that made you think that she probably raised a half a dozen on her own. She began to walk around the place. She showed the baby to a man sitting at the counter who wore a battered baseball cap and cowboy boots and one of those big leather wallets with a chain on it. A certified over-the-road trucker. She showed the trucker the baby. The guy made the appropriate silly faces and high-pitched noises. And she showed the baby the blinking Christmas lights, the gaudy colors of the jukebox. And she brought her over to Harriet and the family. "Just look at this little darling, will you? Mine's all big and grown." The one-armed man took the pot of coffee and went around to fill the cups. When he finished refilling their mugs, Harriet realized there were tears in her eyes. Her husband wanted to know what was wrong. "Nothing, just Christmas," she told him. She reached into her purse and pulled out a Kleenex and also a quarter, gave the kids a quarter and said, "Go over to the jukebox and see if you can find some Christmas carols on it." They ran away. When they were gone, she looked at her husband and she said, "He'd come here, wouldn't he?" "Who?" her husband said. "Jesus. If Jesus were born in this town tonight, if in the choices were our neighborhood or this truck stop, he'd be here, wouldn't he?" Her husband didn't answer right away. He looked around, looked at the people. "Yep, either here or at the homeless shelter." Harriet thought for a while. "That's what bothers me. When we first got here, I felt sorry for all these people because they didn't have houses to go home to like we do with all their wreaths and candles and the big Christmas tree. And listening to that awful music, I thought, I'll bet these people never even heard of Handel's Messiah. But now I think that more than any place I've ever been, this is Christmas. And I'm not sure I even belong. As they walked to the car, her husband bent close to her ear and said, "Remember, the angels did say, I bring you good tidings of great joy for all the peoples." "He'd come here," she said. "Where are you this Christmas? You don't have to be in some place called Christmas cheer with a hyped-up Christmas spirit. You don't have to have all the traditions in place just right. It's great if you can, but it doesn't really matter. Maybe this year there's someone missing. Maybe this year there's a shadow over your heart. Maybe this year the family isn't perfect, or there's not much family at all. Maybe this year the cheer has somehow gone and there's nothing you can do to get it back. Maybe this year there's a knot of tension when the doorbell rings. Maybe this year you can count more doubts than faith under the Christmas tree of your soul." Harriet Ritchie writes, "We all have more unhappy memories than anyone would guess and burdens we never share. In the endless, sometimes meaningless daily grinds and the comings and goings of our lives, our souls are often far from home, whether we know it or not. In the places where we are broken, in the dark holes where something is missing, in the silence of unanswered questions, the wondrous gift is given." That's what we're singing about tonight. That's what we're celebrating. He didn't come to be with us in some sparkling Christmas card setting with all the appropriate halos and a nice clean manger. He came into a world that was raw with violence and rife with oppression. He came into the world in a smelly barn, greeted by the grisly faces of some old shepherds. It was in the truck stop of our lives. He came to this world, God did. And he came to give us hope and salvation and joy and peace. And he comes to us today and every day in the most unlikely places, in our sin and guilt, in our fear and pain, in our brokenness and need. He'd come here. He did come here. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.